Over the past century, labor unions have ushered waves of new immigrants into the economic middle class. Most recently, our newly arrived Hispanic workers, many in the country illegally. For years, the AFL-CIO didn't want to organize illegal workers, but union membership has been declining. Hispanics now are joining unions at twice the rate of non-Hispanics, so last year, the AFL-CIO reversed its policy. NPR's Allison Aubrey visited Selbyville, Delaware, to learn how conditions for Hispanic immigrants are changing.
For 7 years, Maria Martinez worked at the Mount Air Poultry Plant, pulling guts out of chickens. It was the only job she could get when she immigrated from Mexico. Every day, she stood on a wet floor in a 40-degree chill as 1,000 chickens spun past her. She never complained until one morning when she showed up to work and found hundreds of her co-workers had walked off the job in protest.
When I went in, the plant was stopped. Nobody was working. I said, what am I doing here? Here is only the Americans. Here is only the supervisors. Here is only the managers. And I said, there's my people. I have to be there with them. So I went up and everybody was clapping and everything when I come out.
But it was not an official strike. That's because employees had walked out in defense of an undocumented worker. The man had cut off a finger slicing chicken, and after the accident, the company fired him and then reported him to immigration officials. The union could do nothing for him. In fact, at the time, unions themselves fined employers who hired illegals. It didn't matter that a growing number of union shops nationwide were quietly filling up with them. This seemed wrong to Maria Martinez. She had never dreamed of speaking out before, frightened of losing her job. But on that fateful day in 1996, she looked into the lens of a local TV camera that had showed up to cover the strike and declared the plant treated its workers like animals. To her surprise, she didn't get fired. She got respect from co-workers, even townspeople.
This woman approached me and said, you was on TV last week. And I said, yeah. She said, good for you. You have to do it. Somebody have to say something. That's not right what they're doing.
What they were doing, according to Martinez and co-workers, was skirting safety regulations, ignoring workers' civil rights, and getting away with it. But with the strike, things started to change.
It was a big moment.
That's Reverend Jim Lewis, an Episcopalian priest who's helped the Hispanic immigrants organize.
They defied the myth that was existing in the plants that said, as long as we have some undocumented workers here, they will never give us any trouble. And that day, they gave a lot of trouble that day.
Until now, Lewis says, the union worked against this population, treating them as members in name only, but no longer.
I think what the AFL-CIO has done is the most significant thing of all. Because what they've recognized is that this workforce that's out here is the coming leadership.
Maria Martinez is the first example. She's now vice president of her local union, which had never had an Hispanic officer before. For her, leadership means going to the people. On this night, she visits a woman who's been hurt on the job. It's a street of small houses in the shadow of the plant. As kids play street soccer, men in white t-shirts sit on the porch, drinking beer from long-neck bottles and swaying to the music. Inside, Martinez talks to the woman about her chronic hand pain.
Sí, tuve que ir unas seis veces y ella me ponía.
6 times I asked for help. They gave me cream and said it was enough. I told them my hand was very weak. And then finally, they sent me to a doctor.
Martinez has been there along the way, making sure the woman, who calls herself Lydia but uses a different name at work, pushes for the treatment she needs. If that doesn't work, Martinez can line up legal help through the union. Plant management, meanwhile, has been trying to persuade the workers to vote the union out in a decertification election. In fact, managers told employee Sandra Dominguez workers would make more money without the union.
In the cafeteria, they put up a big dollar bill poster on the wall. It was ripped in the middle, and it said, don't vote for the union.
Some workers say managers also warned that they knew who was legal and who was not. It's a charge Mount Air Human Resources Manager Dave Tanner denies.
It's an outrageous comment, and if we knew people didn't have good documents in here, we'd only be hurting ourselves because we're obliged to make sure that people do have those good documents.
And so the contradiction remains. The union is welcoming undocumented workers into its ranks, but immigration law still makes it illegal for employers to hire them. According to Chris Wood, a national organizer with the AFL-CIO, many employers knowingly accept falsified immigration papers.
Employers do know. They wink and they nod when they hire workers where they know that they're either undocumented or that their papers are not in order. And they really don't care about their status until these workers really try to improve their working conditions.
So for Maria Martinez, the chicken gutter turned union vice president, getting organized labor to stop checking green cards has been only half the battle. Now, she says, lawmakers need to change immigration laws.
They can give these people at least a permission to work. It will be better for these people, for my people.
Martinez is not just talking about the few hundred workers she represents at Mount Air, but all the illegal workers nationwide who work and pay taxes, an estimated 5 to 6 million, numbers so large they forced a change in union policy, and perhaps someday may force a change in the law, too. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Selbyville, Delaware.